Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel. We have a busy docket, and as you can imagine, there's more Lori Vallow news. Is she going to have new charges in Arizona? Second, Mark Means is at it again. Third, a date has been saved for the arraignment for Chad Daybell. So he's competent. His case will be moving forward. Next, a 14-year-old is being charged as an adult in regards to the death of Tristan Bailey. Fifth, an example of why you don't do sleepovers. Sixth, a man fakes his death to avoid criminal prosecution. Didn't quite work out the way he had hoped. And finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Crime Talk, and my name is Scott Reich. Thanks for watching. If you haven't done so already, please hit that subscribe button as well as that little bell so that you receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. And you may say to yourself, why do I want to do that? Well, over the last couple of days, we've had the Barry Morphew second advisement. We've gone live as well as matters relating to Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell. If they're appearing in court, we're going to bring it to you. So that's why you hit that little bell. All right, let's get straight to the dockets as we roll into the Memorial Day weekend. Take a little time this weekend to remember all of those people that have served in the military and made the ultimate sacrifice. Our freedoms wouldn't exist without their sacrifice. Okay, first, more charges for Lori Vallow. Possibly, you know, if one person could be said that they're having a really bad week, it's definitely Lori Vallow. For those who are not familiar with Lori Vallow and her marital situations, Chad Daybell is husband number 5. That's right. Her husband number 4, Charles Vallow, had an untimely death at the hands of her brother, Alex Cox, who is also kind of listed as an unindicted co-conspirator in her first-degree murder charges in Idaho. Well, the whole death scenario regarding Charles Vallow has plagued the Chandler Police Department for years. They've wanted to maybe file charges, but there just wasn't enough information. Well, an ongoing investigation apparently has concluded, and now the affidavit for the arrest warrant has gone to the Maricopa County Attorney's office so that they can decide whether there is probable cause or not to proceed on the case. No district attorney is going to take a case unless they believe that they can prove the charge beyond a reasonable doubt. And before charges are filed, it's not uncommon for the prosecutor to review the evidence, review the charges before they take it to the judge to get an actual arrest warrant. Why? Because the prosecutor is the one that's going to have to stand up in court and say, I think I can prove this case. So the question is, will charges be filed? We don't know just yet. Certainly, Lori Vallow has a lot of dead people surrounding her everywhere she goes. She is clearly a black widow. I don't understand why people keep calling her the cult mom. I think she is a black widow. And we know from her last court appearance, she's no longer blonde. And so I think the name fits a little better. Now, there was a lot of brouhaha this week regarding Lori Vallow being found not competent. All that does is stay the proceedings. And then usually another evaluation will be conducted. And there will be a hearing to evaluate, and the judge will make the ultimate determination as to whether Lori Vallow is not competent to proceed or whether she is competent to proceed. The proceedings are all stayed at this point, so there's not going to be much done regarding the case moving forward unless it relates to competency issues. Let's be very clear. Let's just say maybe there's another evaluation or the court finds that Lori Vallow is not competent to proceed. She does not get a free pass, ladies and gentlemen. She would go off to the state hospital. She would be restored to competency. Usually it requires some drugs. I've only seen a couple of cases where they haven't been able to restore people to competency. And remember, competency is simply, does the person understand why they're in court? Can they assist in their defense? Do they understand the charges, the penalties, the roles of each of the players in the courtroom? What does the judge do? What does the prosecutor do? What's the role of the defense counsel? And what is the role of the jury? That's it. Worst case scenario, let's just say, worst case scenario, she is found not to be competent. It may take some time. She'll be restored. Now, I'm putting this on the record right here, right now. I think ultimately there will be another evaluation done, and it'll be determined that Lori Vallow is malingering. You may be able to fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all of the people all of the time. The truth will come out. Now, next on the docket, just because Lori Vallow is not competent and both of her cases, or all three of her cases, will now be stayed, which simply means put on hold, unless to address competency issues. Mark Means is still at it. What is he doing? He is continuing with his subpoena and subpoenas duces tecums regarding the sheriff's department and their alleged conversations with the press. Now, I went back and looked, and I didn't see any gag orders in this particular case. Obviously, the attorneys are prohibited from talking to the media about a case if it's with an intent to manipulate the potential jury pool. You can't do it. And frankly, from a defense perspective, you know what? You save what you have for court. You don't try it in the case. Every time I've seen somebody try their case in the media, it fails miserably. So the defense just needs to lie back and wait. Mark Means somehow wants to go out there and show that the sheriff was talking to the media, or and their quotes were something to the effect of, oh my gosh, it was one of the worst cases I've seen. Okay, so what? Gather all that information. You save it for court. You do it on your own. You're not going to be able to do it. Get them under oath. Subpoena records are going to show up and say, I don't have any records. I don't have any statements. Sorry, I'm not sure what you're looking for. Just running on a goose chase, but maybe since he's on the state dime now, it doesn't really matter. Well, next on the docket, what we do know is going to happen on June 9th is that there's going to be an arraignment for Chad Daybell in regards to his new case. That's right. It's going back to the same judge, Judge Boyce, and there will be an arraignment. That's where he will enter a plea of guilty or not guilty. Now, this arraignment could be set out just a little bit so that Mr. Pryor, his attorney, has an opportunity to review the discovery. My guess is that there will be limited new discovery, as most of it would have been turned over in the other case regarding the concealment and destruction of evidence case. However, if it does get continued, don't be surprised. It shouldn't be more than 30 to 60 days. And in the meantime, Lori Vallow will sit and wait in custody. Now, from a defense perspective, this would be perfect for Chad Daybell, in my humble opinion. I would be saying, let's go. We wanted a separate trial. We wanted Lori Vallow out of the way. Remember, it was only Mark Means that wanted a joint trial because he waived his preliminary hearing, which, okay, I get it. Mr. Pryor did an okay job. But frankly, he's never tried a felony case, let alone not even a second chair. So he wanted to be with Mr. Pryor doing this case together. Pryor wanted a separate trial. This is perfect for Chad Daybell. So now he can say, look, she's crazy. Look at her. I told you she's crazy. And everybody's going to know that there was an issue of competency. Is she crazy or just crazy like a fox? We'll have to wait and see. But this may be the move that Chad Daybell and his counsel were waiting for. Next on the docket, a 14-year-old boy accused of killing his 13-year-old schoolmate by the name of Tristan Bailey is now going to be charged with the counts of first-degree murder and charged as an adult. Aiden Fucci, 14, will be tried as an adult in regards to the stabbing death of Bailey. Now, just to give a little perspective as to why the prosecutor may want to try this 14-year-old pimple-faced kid as an adult, well, he bragged about what he wanted to do to his friends about a month earlier, where he said he wanted to basically harm somebody and drag them into the woods. He also stabbed Ms. Bailey 114 times. Okay, 114 times. I think you could say that was after deliberation. A very angry young man indeed. Some people will say that he's just a kid. His brain hasn't matured enough. He shouldn't be held responsible for what he has done, allegedly, because we'll give him the presumption of innocence. However, a 14-year-old that's going to stab somebody 114 times, okay? The kid's got some issues. I don't know if he's not wired right or what. I don't really know. But if you're doing that at 14, can you imagine what they're going to do when they were 21 or 25? We'll have to wait and see. Let me know what you think. The kid won't face the death penalty because of his age, but he can spend the rest of his life in prison. Let me know whether you think a 14-year-old should be tried as an adult. Remember, he is now being held in the county jail, and if convicted, will go off to an adult prison. Maybe he'll be 16 at the time this thing gets resolved. A 16-year-old going to the Department of Corrections is not going to have a pleasant time. All right, next on the docket. This is why you don't do sleepovers, okay? I was always the bad guy in my house when people said, we want to do sleepovers. No, nothing good happens at sleepovers. There's only one reason to have sleepover for kids. Because they want to do what they can't do at their own house. That's right. Whether it's come in drunk or go party or sneak out, they think they can have a better chance of getting away with it at somebody else's house. Well, not at my house. Because I took that advice from a judge once who said, nothing good takes place at a sleepover. I'm that guy. Yep, don't do it. Well, let me give you a real life example of why. New York authorities are looking for a gentleman by the name of Dwayne Gordon. He's 41 years old. His teenage daughter had a sleepover where she invited some teenage friends. And what is it alleged that Mr. Gordon did? It's alleged that Mr. Gordon drugged the girls, incapacitating them, and then allegedly did inappropriate things with them. Let your imagination run wild. Needless to say, Mr. Gordon isn't exactly saying, hey, here I am. He's on the run. If you've seen him, probably want to notify local authorities. And just as a little side note, I've always said, don't put yourself in situations that create issues, that create the appearance of issues. Like I said, I was the fun hater, said no sleepovers. I was also the guy that said, I'm not driving the babysitter home alone. Maybe it's because what I do for a living, but I would tell my then wife, you're taking her home or you're coming with me. But I'm not going to be in the car alone with a teenage girl. Not that I would do anything, but why would you want to be in a situation like that? You don't want to do it. Now, let's take a quick recess. And if that story doesn't want you to sign up for crimetalksearch.com, I'm not exactly sure what would. Please go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service. You'll be happy you did. If there's anyone out there you were ever curious about what was in their background, now is the time to do it. If you're going to get involved with somebody, now is the time to do it. When you go to crimetalksearch.com, you put in the name, literally millions of public records are searched and a report is generated. And it's going to give you a report. If they have multiple social media accounts, you're going to find it. If they have multiple phone numbers, multiple email addresses, it's going to be found. And more importantly, you're going to get information regarding criminal history. Hopefully the person you're searching has none whatsoever. But if it's there, it's going to be found. You're going to get everything you'd want to know, whether you're going into business or whether you're going into a personal relationship, you're going to be able to find out the information you want to know. So go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up today. You'll be happy you did. Next on the docket, Christopher Toblerlin has been arrested. He was wanted down in Georgia for an attempted murder. Well, the police kind of gave up looking for him a little bit for the past 6 years. It was presumed that he was dead until the police came across some new information that surfaced, and turns out that Mr. Toblerone was actually living in Oklahoma. So the police started to investigate. They asked for the assistance of the United States Marshals and their fugitive unit, and he has ultimately been detained. It's alleged that Mr. Toblerone was accused of threatening to kill his alleged victim, who is referred to as his wife in that report, but police then described as his girlfriend. He is alleged to have bit her on the hand and throwing a hatchet at her. Soon after this alleged incident, the defendant faked his own death and has been able to evade capture until now. According to the arrest warrant, Mr. Toblerone also threatened to kill the woman, who he turned out was his girlfriend slash wife, when she was talking on the phone with her mother. Toblerone then is accused of having thrown a hatchet at the woman, which missed her and lodged into a door inside the couple's home. I guess they probably didn't have those axe throwing places anymore, where he couldn't have practiced a little bit more. Thank goodness he didn't hit her. But that still would be the crime of attempted murder, if not, at minimum, an aggravated assault. Mr. Toblerone will be heading back to the great state of Georgia for prosecution. Next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Please meet 26-year-old Les Elizabeth Ray. She was arrested just yesterday morning and booked on a $1,500 bond. She resides in El Paso, Texas. And what crime could she have possibly have committed? That's right, trespassing. But where did she trespass to? That's right, she jumped over the fence and went into the primates' habitat at the zoo so that she could feed them. Now, I know people do this. People put their kids over the railing. They want to get the good picture. This is social Darwinism at its best. Now, fortunately, nothing happened to the primates in this particular situation, and nothing happened to the defendant, Miss Ray, either. Except when she was identified as being the idiot that went across the line and into the zoo exhibit, she's been fired from her job as a litigation assistant at a local law firm. They fired her immediately. So maybe there's already a little poetic justice there. But wouldn't you just like to see maybe one time when the person jumps over the side and maybe somebody like just, you know, big primate just pulls somebody apart? Maybe that's what it would take. Maybe a lion eating somebody, for them to realize you're not supposed to go in there. They're dangerous animals. They can kill you. And you're just a stupid human. That's right. So, Miss Ray, you are a dumb criminal contestant of the day. Congratulations. If you are crowned the winner, you'll receive some cool Crime Talk swag. You can do anything you want with it. Just don't take it to the zoo and feed the animals. All right. Now, a quick recap of our contestants this week. First, Marty Martinez, 48, sleeping behind the wheel. Police come up to him and they find that he has some white powdery substance on his nose and he smelled like whiskey. Failed those sobriety tests and was put into the police car. The deputies watched Mr. Martinez pull two baggies of white powdery substance out of his pocket and ultimately shove them up his anus, whereupon it was found when he was booked in jail. That's right. Tuesday, we had Tyler Warden, who struck his daughter, who didn't want him there at the apartment, with a slice of pizza. He was arrested for battery. Not sure why people are so infatuated with striking people with their food. Well, then on Wednesday, we had Ann Walsh, who struck her partner with soiled dog pads. That's right, soiled dog pads. At least it wasn't food, I guess. And then Thursday, ultimately, Virginia Brown. She was the 36-year-old Tennessee woman who drove through the COVID-19 vaccination station, almost hitting multiple workers, And when she drove by, she yelled, "No vaccine." I guess that means she's not going to get the vaccine. Anyway, she can do what she wants. It's America, for God's sakes. You just can't harm anybody else when you're doing what you want to do. And obviously, Miss Ray today, let us know who the dumb criminal contestant winner is, and they will get, like I said, some cool Crime Talk swag. Hopefully, kind of a trend this week, a lot of people throwing things at other people. Let's not throw our Crime Talk mugs. They're cool. Don't do that. Don't break it. And also, don't forget, hit the link below. They just put up some really cool new Crime Talk gear. We've got t-shirts, mugs, cool new stuff. I really, really like the mug. Go for the mug. Go for the mug. All right, that's all we have for you today. It's been a busy week, but that's okay. I'm glad I was available to be here and bring it to you and hopefully explain something to you that you maybe didn't know before. Don't forget to watch our recap, and we'll have a show up on Monday. I hope you'll enjoy that as well, and we'll be back Tuesday as well. So thanks for watching Crime Talk, and have a great day.